Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello. I'm Ann Revel Petcher, your host for Metro Raleigh Business Radio. We welcome you to the inaugural show here live from the studios in our city of Wake Forest, North Carolina. We are here in the studio today with two leaders in the region who are really helping to lay the groundwork for growth and prosperity. We want to welcome two people. The first is Dr. Jerry Hayes, the president and founder of the Wireless Research Center in North Carolina. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Ann.
Hey, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
It's good to finally have the studio in Wake Forest, isn't it?
It's been a work in progress.
It's been a work in progress, and we wouldn't be here without Jerry's promotion and tireless efforts, so thank you very much. We also have Chris Hare with Thingovation. This is actually a really interesting story. Welcome to the studio, Chris.
Thank you for having us.
Chris is a serial entrepreneur, and this is his second company that he is actually housing here within the Wireless Research Center.
That's correct, yeah.
So that announcement just went out this morning.
That's right, thank you.
Big news, good timing to be on the radio.
Yep, that's great.
And joining him is his project manager, Scott Claggett. Hey, Scott.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So I want to start here, actually, Jerry, and talk a little bit about the WRC.
Oh.
Because a lot of the things that are happening here are things that are really going to help promote business in the region, and that's why we exist. So tell us, first of all, what is the Wireless Research Center?
The Wireless Research Center is a very unique nonprofit center that was formed in 2010 under the inspiration of the town of Wake Forest, the Chamber of Commerce, the mayor, town commissioners, basically to promote economic development. It's all about job growth here, and we combine job growth with technology and innovation. Emphasis on wireless. There's a lot of wireless expertise in the Triangle region. We had companies like Nortel, Ericsson, Sony Ericsson that were here that brought a lot of unique talent to the area. And then when they left, the talent stayed, reinvented themselves in different companies. And the town of Wake Forest decided to create a hub for those companies to grow and to extend throughout the state of North Carolina.
So this is really the center for wireless research and development. Is that a fair way to...
That's correct. That's correct.
Excellent. So you have companies who are actually moving into your center. Tell us about that.
We do. So combining the engineering and research side of the center, we promote economic development through incubation, and we offer... we launched our commercialization center,
mm-hmm.
where we offer startup companies opportunities to rent an office. So we have 9 companies currently co-located with the Wireless Center.
Wow, that's great. When did that first start?
That started about a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And actually, Chris Hare has been here since the beginning as one of our first tenants at the center and one of our strongest advocates for the center.
Excellent. So. We love the advocacy.
We do too.
So tell us a little bit about some of the services that you offer here.
We offer anything from engineering services and testing services. Testing, we have a flagship anechoic chamber, which is basically a large shielded room that offers very unique wireless testing of anything mobile, radio devices from 400 megahertz up to 18 gigahertz.
Okay, you're getting a little techie here. Let's take a step back.
Sorry.
I expect that of you, doctor. But let's describe for us, what does that chamber look like? What's it called?
It's called the Satomo SG64, and it's a large metal box.
Ooh.
That you can put antennas or radios inside the box, and it can't see outside the box, and anything outside can't see in. And basically... that frequency span allows it to offer measure. You can characterize radio devices, anything from an implant on a biological implant at 400 megahertz up to a satellite antenna.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty broad.
When it was built, it's funded by the Golden Leaf Foundation. We got a grant in 2011, and we became operational 2012, and we just got certified for CTIA over-the-air testing.
Oh, that's really unique, isn't it, for the region?
Yes, that is. It's one of 4 on the East Coast right now that has that capability. It's the only one in North Carolina to offer that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you walk into this chamber. I just got to describe, because everybody here in the room has been inside this very cool chamber. It's filled with kind of foam?
Absorbers.
Absorbers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and why is that?
So it's an anechoic chamber, and anechoic means no echo.
Aha.
So those absorbers, you put a radio or an antenna in the middle of the chamber, it'll transmit out And those absorbers prevent it from reflecting back. So okay. The antenna thinks it's out in the middle of nowhere.
So you've got this cool testing facility here within mm-hmm. the center. Who utilizes that and why?
Many companies globally and locally. It's because of the unique capabilities of it. We have customers from startups that are looking at wireless prototypes, and you can do a very quick evaluation of that. Universities also, we provide those to any of the universities in the area or throughout the Southeast to come and prototype an antenna. If they have a concept, they can test it up through Fortune 500, 100 companies come in. And
from all over the world, I
from
assume.
All over the world,
yeah,
that's
because
right.
aren't there only just a couple of these?
That's right. When it was built, there were three in the world.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So this gives this region, the Raleigh metro area, a real unique set of opportunities for people who are going into the world of wireless.
That's right. Complementing the testing services, we offer engineering services with the local companies in the area and throughout the region.
So how does that work?
Well, what we do is if someone comes in and they have a challenge, a design challenge, or they want to create a widget that combines like a biometric sensor and a radio, we combine them with the companies in the area that are skilled at building radios and putting them on different products. So
this could be an entrepreneur, somebody who just has an idea that would come to you mm-hmm. and say, you know, I have this idea and I think it can really change X, Y, or Z about the market. And you can offer a series of
testing, engineering support, as well as on the commercialization side, through our incubator support,
right.
We offer a review of their intellectual property
okay.
to help them fill out their patent portfolio. As a nonprofit, we don't hold any intellectual property. Instead, we keep that with the inventor or with the company, and the idea is to help them grow, build a stronger company, and as the tide rises, all of the boats also rise.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
It's exciting. It's a unique model.
It is. It's very neat. Well, this actually is a great kind of transition time to talk a little bit about Thingovation. Mm-hmm. Chris, tell us a little bit about Thingovation.
So building on what Jerry says, this area has got a pretty amazing group of talents that had been pretty much segregated between wireless, defense, medical, and energy. And until recently, they were pretty much siloed and separated. Today, people start talking about the connectivity of these devices. We've started to get devices in our home measuring our energy, like the Nest device that Google just bought mm-hmm. as a company, figuring out how to connect your home monitoring of energy to your smartphone. As Jerry said, there are medical devices that are implanted or are on body starting to measure your fitness or your health.
Right.
All of these things are broadly called convergence. In many cases, these markets are starting to cross over each other and people are not crossing over. So you've got a very siloed capability that is not allowed to flourish because those skill sets are still pretty much separated.
I'm sorry, what do you mean people are not crossing over?
Well, if you're a medical expert, the mm-hmm. more of a medical expert you become, chances are you're going to stay a medical expert. You're not going to suddenly mid-career decide to become an expert in the defense industry.
Right.
And if you're in the energy industry, you're not suddenly mid-career going to decide you're going to go suddenly become a wireless expert.
Sure.
So what happens is, much like the foam insulators in the anechoic chamber, they're like little pyramids. The closer you get to the top of the pyramid, the more expertise you have, but the more narrow it becomes.
Uh-huh.
And this becomes tricky. So you marry that trend up with another trend, which is starting to be referred to as the Internet of Things.
Right.
And the Internet of Things very simply just means stuff that's connected over a network, whether that be a wireless network like Wi-Fi or whether it be a radio network like your mobile phone.
Sure.
But the end result is that these various devices, from coffee cups to vending machines to medical devices to home monitoring devices, all have some kind of connection to the internet. And this Internet of Things is really what spurred the reason that we started Thingovation a few months ago. And Thingovation as a company is really focused on trying to bring some of the talented groups together in a virtual team in order to help companies that don't have a clue about the wireless market to create devices that make sense and work and are shippable and ready.
So what are the specific things that you offer through Thingivation?
So it starts out with a strategy review. And to Jerry's point about intellectual property, you've got to build a house on a firm foundation. Mm-hmm. So you've got to know that your company has got the right backing and the right support and the right intellectual property knowledge so that you don't find a year or two later that someone had the idea just before you did and then you're out of business. So part of this is a strategic review, figuring out, do you know where you're going and what direction are you going? Typically, it also includes a funding review. Clearly, if we're helping firms to develop and grow big, they've got to have the funding to do that, whether that be from angel investors, corporate investors, or venture capital.
Sure.
But if they don't have that pathway set, they're probably not going to make it.
And so if they don't, do you come in and help them figure out how to get that set up correctly?
We can do, although to be fair, most of the clients that we have as Thingivation out of the gate have been much larger companies.
Sure.
That are already established and mature and stable and well-funded.
Mm-hmm.
But the piece that they're missing is the wireless piece that we bring to the table.
Sure.
So part of the other service side that we offer is the project management. Which is why Scott is here. Scott was heavily involved in project management at both Sony Ericsson and HTC. And we also help them with competitive analysis and intelligence. So they might be looking at their market the wrong way. They might be looking at a US view of the market where their market may be larger in Europe. They may have done some work in Japan, but maybe their market's bigger in Canada, let's say.
Sure.
And again, that's where Scott has been doing a lot of work with these clients to help them as he headed the competitive intelligence groups at Sony Ericsson and HTC.
Great.
And so what this really brings together once you get this package is the ability to create really a subcontracted team, an external team for these organizations that can do something in this area that no one else can do.
Excellent. Well, Scott, so you have worked with some of these companies already.
Yes.
So tell us about the kinds of companies that you can talk about and the kinds of work that you have been doing for them. What kinds of problems do they come to you with?
Well, many times they're just looking for a deeper understanding of the market. What are some of the real challenges that they're facing? Because even though they've been in the space for a long time, they might miss what's happening around them.
Oh, interesting.
And a lot of times they miss convergent industries that are coming in and making a play into their own space. So we can help show them the landscape and also help try to guide them in terms of where the market's going, give them a better understanding of where their portfolio might go from a product standpoint or a feature standpoint, or even identify some gaps in their product line.
Interesting. What kinds of companies are these?
So we can't talk about specific companies because of our non-disclosure agreements, and they'd probably hunt us down and have a shot or something. But as a general understanding, for example, let's talk about a medical device company.
Sure.
A medical device company filled with lots of great research and great medical expertise, but not really any knowledge of the wireless industry or how to connect their device to the internet in 20 or 30 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And per Jerry's comments about the testing that the wireless center gets involved in, the center also gets very heavily involved in the regulation side. So it's not just a matter of testing a physical device once you've built it, which of course is critical and important, but it's also about making sure you've navigated various bodies around the world. In the US, the examples would be like the FCC and the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
So the Federal Drug Administration controls medical devices, and the FCC controls communication, and they're two very different groups, but part of the US government.
Yeah.
Many other countries have similar types of setup that are very tricky to navigate if you've never navigated that stuff before. So,
well, and are they just now learning to work together? I would assume.
To some extent, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, the problem with any new threshold in science or technology or industry is that everyone has to navigate it,
mm-hmm.
including the regulators.
Sure.
So in our case, we have a medical company that's figured out a really interesting piece of science that involves monitoring human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say more than that right now, but in order to do that monitoring, they have to have a device that does the monitoring. That device has to be either on the body or close to the body or close to the person.
Okay.
And as such, that needs a wireless connectivity. So all of this stuff has to be navigated and put together in a package, not just so that you can regulate it and then build it and then test it and launch it, but also so that you can actually raise the right investment if that's the journey that you're taking, or find the right partners, or potentially find the right exit. Because most young companies don't realize that you really need to start designing your exit when you start designing the company.
There are a lot of pieces here for companies to put together. And so let me just sort of take a step back and see if we can reconnect this or rebuild this, re-engineer this discussion just a second, because it seems like what you're offering is there are businesses out there that are established and growing and have great R&D, and yet they don't have the wireless expertise. And between the two of you, you can bring that expertise to bear on their new technologies. And they don't have to go out then and hire someone specifically to start and grow a wireless expertise center within
that. And I think it's much broader than Wake Forest or this area or North Carolina, because and even more broad than just the US, because hardware engineering and hardware expertise, particularly wireless expertise, there are only a very small amount of pockets around the world that actually have that stuff figured out.
Right.
So both for Thingovation and also for my other company, the entity group that's a strategy consulting based here, as well as for the Wireless Center, I mean, many of the clients we have are international. So they may not even know where North Carolina is, but they know where the Wireless Center is, or they know where we are. And that's that actually attracts business to the U.S. It creates interactions that have not happened before, because a medical company didn't need to know about wireless until they needed to know about wireless, and now they do.
Right,
we're a home for that.
Exactly. So one of the things that people worry about with wireless is the whole privacy issue, because, you know, boy, I go way back in the world of Wi-Fi and what was it, 102.11, what was it? 802.11. See, it's been a long, long time, so we actually had to think about it. B, exactly, and then there was C. Was there ever an A?
There's an A.
Oh, it still exists. Remember?
Yeah.
But back in those days, we were very worried about what was being sent out, you know, over the airwaves, and if somebody could grab the air and get information about us. As this gets closer and closer, in fact, even put into our bodies, do we get more and more concerned about security and privacy?
Well, we are concerned about privacy, of course, and especially on the HIPAA regulations and patient information and data. So that's one level of concern that they have, and that's through the whole internet. So anything, you know, even from the wireless link up through where the data goes, gets stored, and how that's treated. And there are companies that are experts in data management for that.
Right.
On the protocol level, there's ways of doing like a VPN or, you know, a very secure link. The other thing that you're conscientious of is the quality of service. If you have a biomedical implant, say a pacemaker, it's not just the link. It's what happens if the link goes down, or if the adjustments aren't made correctly. So it's kind of a risk management consideration.
And you would think that maybe there would be different kinds of wireless signals going on that could maybe interrupt things like pacemakers?
That's correct. I mean, well, two of the concerns that you have with a wireless medical device is the electromagnetic interference and also coexistence. So you want to make sure that your device isn't interfering with another biometric sensor, as well as other things in the area aren't interfering with your device.
So it is a reasonably complex situation.
It is, and I think that there's a massive amount of science and research and insulation and isolation that's involved here, which is why if you're a medical company or an energy company and you don't know about wireless, you better go to an expert that does.
Well,
because if your smartphone doesn't play well with your pacemaker, then the results aren't very good.
Yeah.
So these are you know, making it very personal and very real. I mean, if you walk into the grocery store and a device that's implanted in your body then doesn't like the door, you know, the electric doors,
right,
then you have a problem.
Yeah.
And these are the challenges that Jerry and the team at the Wireless Center are figuring out every day, because, you know, most people think of their mobile phone as a radio. It's not a radio. In many cases, it might be 15 or 20 radios.
Is that right?
When you start adding together Wi-Fi and Bluetooth,
oh, right, of course,
and near field communication,
sure,
for stuff like mobile payments,
mm-hmm,
each of those are separate radios, and separate radios mean separate antennas.
Wow. Well, I realize that Thingovation's only been around for 5 months now.
Yep.
Is that about right? How do people find out about you? How is it that people even realize that they need your help?
Well, what's been fascinating with the journey for, I think, to some extent, the Wireless Center, but certainly for Entity and Thingivation, is that we have really not needed to do any marketing, and that's a great position to be in. What we've found over the years is that the network locally and globally, as a result of some of the companies that we've worked at in the past, is extremely strong. Mm-hmm. And there's just not that expertise around. So if you were part of the Ericsson family, as it was, or part of a group at Motorola or one of the other handset makers over the years, that's a pretty special group of right. people that actually keeps in touch with each other.
Ah.
But frankly, I mean, word of mouth has been our only advertising to date. You know, our websites and our collateral has not been very polished, or needed to be very polished, to be honest, because we're busy. We have done some speaking engagements at conferences around the world. In the last couple of years, I've spoke at conferences on the East Coast, the West Coast, in London, as well as in Prague and in Kiev,
mm-hmm.
although I don't feel like going back to Kiev right now.
Probably not today. Maybe not today.
You know, but those events and those type of interactions with the community mean that when people need your help, they know where to find you.
Well, obviously, you're bringing some international here to town. We appreciate the wonderful tenor of your voice. Tell us about some of those relationships, if you wouldn't mind.
So straying a little bit from Thingivation into the Entity side, one of the other hats that I wear, and I wear too many at the moment, but that's another challenge, is that I'm a representative of the British government, unsurprisingly, I guess. But my role is as a deal architect for the UK Trade and Investment. And what that means, and I mean, the Mayor of Wake Forest a couple of years ago announced at an annual event that the British are coming, and she said, this time it's a good thing. And, you know, so what the British government does in this case, and the US government and other governments have similar groups, is trying to help bridge US technology needs with the ability for UK technology companies to satisfy those needs. So it's all about harnessing the special relationship between the two countries and figuring out how to get a large US company, in the case of projects I work on, to find a way of satisfying strategic needs from young UK technology firms that are working on things. Because, you know, I think the challenge worldwide, that everywhere that isn't Silicon Valley still has innovation.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that Silicon Valley doesn't have a lot. It absolutely does. It has a massive amount of innovation, and also the whole ecosystem of innovation. So the funding, the media, the attention, as well as the creativity and the education. But other parts of the world have it too, just at a different level.
Sure.
So what we're trying to do is bring together some of those abilities in the UK with companies in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point of view, I'm part of that process, and I base myself here, although my responsibility to the government is across the US.
Sure, that's great. Boy, this really is being a hub.
It is, yes.
That's
our mission.
Yeah. So, Jerry, actually, you're helping in some of this globalization with an upcoming webinar that you're doing, right?
That's right. With the US Department of Commerce, we're doing a webinar on wireless medical devices, and specifically the challenges on the wireless side when you integrate a radio into a biometric sensor.
That's interesting. When's that going to happen?
June 5th.
And so just to give a little plug here, if somebody was interested in learning more about those regulations, they can find information on your website.
That's correct. There's a link on our website to it, and you can register online and attend online.
Yeah. Excellent. So they don't even have to come to Wake Forest.
That's correct. Although we'd like them to come.
I was going
to
say, they'd be missing out if they don't come on up. So what are the big plans here? What's coming up in the future for both of your organizations?
So for Thingivation, it's still very early days. I mean, we started out of the gate in the middle of January. As of now, we have two large projects that take us into multi-million dollars this year alone as a standing start. So we're busy.
Well, that's not too bad for a startup.
We're pretty happy with the progress.
Well done, Chris.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's been great. Now we've got to deliver on the projects that we've landed, so that's why Scott's
going to get busy.
Scott's already busy.
But absolutely.
We're going to make sure that. Beyond that, we have a number of other projects that we're working on in our pipeline, some US companies, some not US companies. I've been in Boston this week meeting with people. I was in DC and Atlanta last week meeting with firms. and in the valley a few weeks ago. But I think the key thing for this area is an increased focus on convergence. And I see that as a very, very big trend for the Wireless Center as well as for our companies, because there are so many of these situations where companies in energy or medical or defense need to navigate this stuff and don't have a clue how to. So, you know, as much as there may become a time where we will need to focus on marketing and advertising, I'm not seeing it yet, mm-hmm. which is great. It's a great problem to have. But
well, not for those of us who have marketing and PR firms. But
well, I think the challenge is, if you know, frankly, the next challenge we're going to have as a firm is hiring. We are going to need some more help. So I see that as a good problem to have in the near future.
Well, that's actually a great problem. We're actually going to have a show on that in the coming weeks, and what's happening in the region in terms of helping develop a strong base of both business professionals, but also technology and science, math, students up and coming, and get really strong training programs. So that's fabulous.
It's all interconnected.
Yeah. It's all interconnected. Yeah. In fact, I think that we're going to change the name of the Wireless Research Center to the Wireless Resource Center, because you seem to be that kind of hub.
We are. We're a resource, business-wise, technically, engineering. The other thing that's we're launching our commercialization center, or we've launched that. Now we're expanding that, mm-hmm. Adding more incubation space.
That's excellent.
And then offering new technical services for testing. We're doing that next few months.
Super. So if somebody wanted to learn a little bit more about that, how would they get in touch with you, Jim?
They should first check out our website. It's www.wirelesscenter-nc.org. And after that, if you could follow the links on there, we have contact links, and we can request more info.
Excellent. That's also going to be up on our website alongside this show once the podcast gets posted. Chris, how do they get in touch with you guys over, I guess, either for Entity or for Thingovation?
So Thingovation is thingovation.com, and the Entity group is Entity, which is spelt N-T-E-T-E.com. So pretty simple. But as I said earlier, the websites are not meant to be particular showcases. They're a little basic, but they work.
That's great. I want to thank all of you three guys for being on the show today and for helping us kick off our inaugural show for Business Radio X here in the Raleigh area. I also want to thank our producer, Angie Han. Thank you, Angie and Mike, for being here and helping us kick off the show today. And for those of you who are going to the North Carolina Technology Association event today, the State of Technology, we will be broadcasting live with interviews from the event at from 5 to 7 tonight, and again tomorrow from 8 until 2. We also have our next show here next Monday. Listen to us live on Metro Raleigh Business Radio at 1 o'clock on Monday, and then again for Carolina Connections on Tuesday at 11. And pretty soon, starting on June 3rd, the mm-hmm. Wireless Research Center will be having their own show here.
Wireless Innovation.
Wireless Innovation. Yeah. That will be 11 o'clock on Tuesday, June 3rd. So listen for those. And until next time, it's Anne Revelle-Petcher for Business Radio X.